Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Property Podcast. I'm Rob B with Rob D, and we've got a special episode this week. We're going to give you loads of resources, the best stuff that we've consumed this year, whether it be books, podcasts, YouTube channels, TV shows. We've got that and so much more. It's a great episode.
Welcome to the Property Podcast, where every Thursday morning, property investors come to be informed and inspired. Yes, I hope you're ready to make notes because we've got so many recommendations for you. We cover a lot of ground, from the mainstream to the niche, from the very highbrow to the very, very lowbrow. It's all coming up. And make sure you stick around to the end for Hub Extra because we've got the perfect gift idea for you as well. I love recording this episode every year because I always pick up some good tips. Even though we talk pretty much every day, Rob, and we always make recommendations throughout the year, there's always some things that come out in this episode that I will rush to go and download and watch or whatever. And scanning down the list that we've put in, there are some I'm really keen to hear about. So let's get into it. Let's talk about what we've enjoyed the most this year out of anything that we have consumed. The categories, as always, are tech and apps, YouTube and TV, podcasts and books. And let's start with books, shall we? What's your first pick, Rob?
Okay, so my first book is a book that I talked about a few weeks back on the podcast, and it's called Taking People With You by David Novak. And this, for me, is my business book of the year. A lot of business books are quite samey. You get the odd gem and you're like, wow, this is unique, this is different content, this is not something I've read before. But that doesn't happen very often. And this book definitely was all new content. It's from a guy who's been there and done it. He was the CEO of Yum Group, which you may not have heard of, but you would have heard the brands that they look after, which is the likes of KFC and Taco Bell and others. And they are renowned for how they treat their people, how they develop their people. So there's no better person to learn from, really, in business. So I found myself taking loads of notes from this book. In fact, I started with the Audible version and found that I was learning so much that I went and bought a physical copy as well. So quite an endorsement, but I highly recommend it if you've got an interest in business.
It was my job to cast the right shadow of leadership because no one else was going to live up to these principles unless I lived up to them first. As a leader, you always have to remember that people tend to follow the leader's actions. You can't say one thing and then do another and expect people to believe in you or follow you.
Sounds good to me. I'll be checking it out. My first book is something completely different, not only completely different from your pick, but also different from almost anything else I've ever listened to, which is Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey, the actor who I'm sure you'll have heard of. Green Lights is an autobiography, but it's a very unique autobiography. He reads it himself. It's almost like he's acting it. He throws in little poems and odd bits, and it's strange in the best possible way. And he's also had the most bonkers life of anyone I've ever heard of. The stories, just in the first half hour of the book, the stories that he goes through about his parents are just unbelievable, and he swears that it's all completely true. So if you do want to read this book, I would say definitely don't read it. Listen to the audiobook so you can hear his narration. It really brings something extra to these stories that are quite something in their own right.
I packed up those journals and took a one-way ticket to solitary confinement in the desert, where I began writing what you hear now. An album, a record, a story of my life so far. Things I witnessed, dreamed, chased, gave, and received. Truth bombs that interrupted my space and time in ways I could not ignore. Contracts I have made with myself, many of which I live up to, most of which I still pursue.
Oh, Rob, there's another Audible token gone. I've got a feeling it's going to be an expensive episode for me, this one. So moving on, my next book recommendation is a book I picked up over last Christmas and New Year, and I finished it after we'd recorded last year's Hub Extra episode, so I obviously couldn't put it in. But I've kept it aside as one of the best books I've listened to in a long time. The book is called A Million Miles in a Thousand Years by Donald Miller. Now, Donald Miller's actually wrote a lot of books. Building a Story Brand is a famous book he's wrote as well, which is all about marketing. But this is a, I suppose you could call it, self-development book, but in the best way. It's a really inspiring book because it's about him. He talks about his life. And in short, he's asked to write a story about his life. And when he writes that story, he doesn't think it's that story worthy. So it's a book of self-discovery where he decides, you know what, I want to live a life that's worth talking about. And he talks about that sort of process he goes through. He's funny, he's witty, he's humble, he's inspiring. It's a really, really good book. I actually recommended it to a few people at the beginning of the year. And I think it's the type of book that as you're going through Christmas, New Year, and you're thinking about the year ahead, and you're not quite sure about what you want to do next year, or you feel like you're not achieving as much as you want right now, this book, I'm sure, will be a great kickstart for you. It had a big impact on me in a really positive way, so I hope you enjoy it too.
The truth is, there are principles that make up a good story, and wanting a Volvo isn't one of them. And the principles that make up a good story are important, because the same principles that make up a good story also make up a good life. This is a book about those principles. How I came to understand them, fight with them, agree and give in, and ultimately decide to edit my life.
Yep, I can second that one. I've read that, I think, on your recommendation. And yeah, it really is a very special book. My next one is a book that I'm pretty sure we featured on Hub Extra during the year. It's Alchemy, The Surprising Power of Ideas That Don't Make Sense by Rory Sutherland. And the concept of this book is that most things in business and in marketing in particular, which is what Rory Sutherland knows about, is based on logic and things that need to make sense and trying to justify things with spreadsheets and data. But when you get into it, all the best ideas actually don't make any sense at all. One of the strap lines of the book is to be brilliant, you have to be irrational. And the book is just full of amazing examples of products and ideas and things that have happened that if you said that it's what you're going to do, everyone would say that you were nuts, that would never work. But it's worked precisely because it's crazy. And it really gives you a completely different approach to generating ideas, but also gives you a really good understanding of just how weird humans are. And this is another one that I strongly recommend listening to because his voice is just brilliant.
The models that dominate all human decision-making today are heavy on logic and light on magic. A spreadsheet, after all, leaves no room for miracles. But what if this approach is sometimes wrong? What if in our quest to recreate the certainty of the laws of physics, we are now too eager to impose the same consistency and certainty in fields where it simply has no place?
Yeah, I listened to that, Rob, off the back of your recommendation earlier in the year. It's a good book. This next book, though, is my book of the year, and I've highly endorsed all the books I've recommended this year. I've actually read a lot and listened to a lot of books this year, much more than last year. I've really got back into my reading. I didn't stop, but I've really like sort of doubled down on it. But funnily enough, I don't think I could have recommended much more than I have already. But this book, even though the other two are top notch, this book edges it for me. It's a book of the year, and I was very fortunate actually because I wouldn't have picked this book up, partly because I'm sure the title would have put me off because I feel it's a little cheesy, but do not let it put you off. It's an exceptional book, and it's called Richer, Wiser, Happier by William Green. And I was lucky because it was gifted to me by a longtime podcast listener, Stephen Backill, who was also the chairman of the REIT that we run, which Portfolio sits on top of. So when your chairman recommends a book, you better read it. And I'm so glad I did, because this is the best book I've read on general investment ever. Now, it's not a practical book in terms of do this trade and then you'll make this money and then make this next investment. It's not like that. It's not a step-by-step guide. It's more of a high-level philosophy of how to invest, but not from the author, from some of the world's greatest investors ever to have lived. And this is because the author is a financial journalist who's been in the game for decades, and he's had the privilege of being with these investors, sometimes for days or weeks at a time, traveled with them, and has really done a fantastic job of extracting the best lessons from them. It's a fabulous book. The first chapter alone is worth the money in itself because it's just so much value in that one chapter. I highly, highly recommend this book. If you're listening to this podcast, then you're clearly interested in investing and investment. And yes, it doesn't talk about property too much, but I do believe the general principles can be applied to property. So a strong recommendation there. And although the other two books are absolutely marvelous, I would say this one is my book of the year.
To my delight, many of the investors I encountered were fascinating and oddly exotic. I flew to the Bahamas to spend a day with Sir John Templeton, the greatest global stock picker of the 20th century, who lived in a Caribbean idyll called Lyford Key. I traveled to Houston for an audience with Fayez Serafim, an enigmatic Egyptian billionaire nicknamed the Sphinx.
Well, I've recently started reading that book on your recommendation, Rob, so I'm very glad Christmas is coming, so I'll hopefully have time to finish it off. Let's move on to our next category now, podcasts. Yes, other podcasts are available, believe it or not. I don't know if we should let people know about that. But we are big consumers of podcasts as well as books. Rob, what's first up for you this year?
I'm going to start off by just mentioning a few podcasts that I listen to the most. Now, I've recommended these podcasts already, either in last year's Hub Extra episode or the year before. But in case you've missed them and you're new to the podcast or you've just forgotten, here they are. Masters of Scale, which is a business podcast by Reid Hoffman, who was one of the founders of LinkedIn and was part of the PayPal Mafia. A fabulous book for somebody who's obviously running a business that's growing fast. And that's a podcast about businesses that are growing fast. It's just perfect content for me. So I absolutely love it. Bolt Flavors by the guy who founded Gusto, the Gusto food delivery service. I'm so glad this has continued. It goes from strength to strength. The quality of the guests is absolutely fantastic. And that's the type of guests that you just don't seem to get on other podcasts, which really makes it a really good podcast for me, because you often just hear the same voices when you listen to business podcasts. But he gets some really interesting people on, and the questions he asks, the quality of the questions he asks, makes for a really good interview. And Meditative Stories. This is a special podcast. It's a podcast that helps you work on your mindfulness. You can go for walks and get yourself into a meditative state while you listen to it. I've found that over the last few years, when I've been in a difficult moment, listening to this podcast has really helped me. And yes, we're now out of lockdown and it might not be as intense for us all, but there are still going to be those weeks, those days, those moments where we're not as on it. And this podcast, I highly recommend to you if you're ever having one of those days or weeks. So, Rob, they're my repeats, but worth mentioning. But let's give people some new podcasts to listen to as well, if they've already listened to all those off the back of our recommendations in previous years. So, come on, what have you got?
Okay, so my first is called How to Take Over the World. And it is a podcast about people who have taken over the world, in many cases literally, like Napoleon and Alexander the Great, but also people like Steve Jobs and Thomas Edison, who made a huge impact on the world through what they do. And what these podcasts do really well, it's normally about 45 minutes or an hour long, is it really distills down this person who the episode is about, gives you their story, fills you in on what they've achieved, and tries to break down what it is about them and their character that allowed them to do something that very few humans in history have ever done before, for better or worse. So what I really like about it is the fact that there are many historical characters who I know virtually nothing about, wouldn't necessarily pick up an entire biography, but in the space of an hour, you get to find out basically what it was that they were all about and learn a lot more about them. But also, there are kind of like business and leadership and life lessons embedded in there as well, because it's about not just who they were, but how they did what they did and the lessons that the host could extract from that. So it's history and it's self-improvement wrapped up in one. And that's why How to Take Over the World is one of my picks.
We're going to be talking about Napoleon Bonaparte, the French general, king, emperor, and reformer. And to start off with, why am I doing this, my very first episode of How to Take Over the World, about Napoleon? I think many people know him as the short, angry guy. You've heard of the Napoleon complex, and that's what you think of when you hear Napoleon. So it might seem like a strange place to start for many people. And there's a few reasons I want to start with Napoleon. The first is his absolute brilliance and the volume of his accomplishments.
One of my new picks is a podcast called Pain Game, which is a podcast by a YouTuber called True Geordie. Now, I'm aware of his content and I've seen it come up in my feed. I wouldn't say I'm a regular consumer of it, but this podcast is really, really good. Again, another strong interviewer. The questions he asks is fantastic, and he's asking them of fighters. And boxing is a sport I really enjoy watching, but it's actually the storytelling I think makes boxing really interesting. The fights themselves are really interesting, but it's how the stories are told these days of these fighters that I find so fascinating. And the promoters do such an incredible job of telling the story of a fighter, of building them up and matching them in the right fights. And there's so much more to boxing than just punching each other in the face. So much more. And there's only a few episodes out, but he's interviewed the likes of Logan Paul, Eddie Hearn, whose book I read this year, which was a good entertaining read, John Fury, the father of Tyson Fury, who's an absolute character. If you appreciate boxing on any level, I think you'll enjoy this podcast. If you don't like boxing, it may be worth just having a little go of it, just to listen to these interviews, because they are really good and it might actually capture your interest. The Eddie Hearn episode is particularly good. So give that a go if you've got even a passing interest in boxing.
I didn't care about living, I just wanted to die. I got up and I felt the weight of the world was lifted off my shoulders. I knew I was going to make a comeback.
Fighting, this was designed for me. And what makes us who we are.
I'm so far ahead of this game. My dream, my vision for myself is to be the greatest martial artist to ever live.
I have always been a fighter. There is nothing I do better in this life than fighting.
Okay, my next one is super niche, and this is probably only a recommendation for 5% tops of the audience. It's called Macro Voices, and it is about macroeconomics, and it is certainly not beginner level. When I started listening to this podcast, I probably understood a fraction of what it was that they were talking about, and as time has gone on and I've listened to more and gone and done some research on the side and built my knowledge, I now understand a larger fraction of what they talk about. But if you care enough about the big themes in the economy that we sometimes talk about, like inflation and QE and interest rates, then this is a podcast that really takes you into the super detail of all that. But if that's not for you, I entirely understand. That just means you're a normal human. Don't worry, keep listening to the Property Podcast and we'll break down the basics for you instead.
We wanted to bring you a credible disinflationist to keep the secular inflation debate going for our 300th episode. And they don't come much more credible than David Rosenberg. Rosie will describe the reasons the inflation we've already seen has occurred and why he doesn't think it will last. We'll also discuss stock prices, bond yields, and precious metals.
Well, I am not a normal human, so I will be subscribing. Thank you, Rob. That sounds perfect. And if you think that's niche, I'm going to try and up the niche stakes on a podcast that I've enjoyed this year. So possibly even less people listening will go and subscribe to this one. But it's called Fintech Insider, and it's a weekly news show of all the goings-on of the world of fintech. And they have some insight episodes as well where they tackle bigger themes and topics. Now, we've launched the Fintech in Portfolio, you may have heard. So this podcast has been incredibly valuable over the last couple of years as that process has taken place. And I feel my knowledge of what's going on in the industry has really leveled up because of this podcast. So if you have any interest in the world of fintechs, then you're going to love this podcast. But I understand the majority of the audience won't. So it's a bit of a niche recommendation, but just in case you're interested, it's definitely worth subscribing.
We're putting financial services through the ringer. How do we rate its performance in the past year? What should it stop doing? What does it need to start doing? And what should it continue doing?
Well, that's what I like about these roundups. There's something for everyone, but then also for a certain type of person, there are some hidden gems in there as well. All right, that's podcasts done. Let's move on to TV/YouTube/streaming/whatever. I don't know how any of this stuff works anymore. My first pick I'll just mention briefly because we talked about it last year as well. And that is Succession. Succession is back for season 3 and it is so good. So I won't talk about it anymore because we covered it last year, but it is still so, so good. If anything, it's getting better. Amazing show.
I dropped a bomb. The whole world is watching for my next move.
You're the number one trending topic ahead of Tater Tots, and the Pope followed you.
Thanks, Greg.
This isn't Pope.
My family have disappeared. I need to know where everyone is and what everyone's thinking.
There he is, the little man who started this big war.
Right now, I'm the real you.
Sure. And I'm the real you.
It is an amazing show, so double endorsement there. I am going to recommend a YouTube channel to start with. Last year, I recommended Dotham Chess because I've got really into my chess. More on that in a bit. But I want to give you another one for you chess geeks, you chess lovers, because I've learned so much this year on YouTube and I've really leveled up my chess game because of it. So I'm going to recommend to you a channel called Chess Vibes, which is growing quite steadily at the moment, and rightly so, because the quality of the content there is fantastic. So if you have an interest in chess, check out either Gotham Chess or Chess Vibes.
You've probably heard control the center of the board. That is an example of a chess principle. It's true most of the time. Sometimes you will need to control some other squares on the board, but usually the center is most important.
Okay, my next one is a YouTube channel as well. And this is a channel that is just called Patrick Boyle. And it's by a man called Patrick Boyle. And what he does is puts out sort of 15 or 20 minute videos about topics that are in the news around the themes of investing or economics. So, for example, you might have heard about Evergrande, the Chinese company that's defaulting on its debt and is so big it had a risk of bringing the entire world economy down. If you don't know much about that, then you can go and watch one of his videos, and in 15 minutes, then you will. He did the same thing for GameStop. He did it for the Pandora Papers. And there was another recent one about energy prices and inflation. And what makes it so good is that there's absolutely no sensationalism. He doesn't pick a side. He just gives you the facts in a really easy to understand way. And he's also the most deadpan man in the world. So he'll sneak in all these little jokes that you could very easily miss because of the way he delivers them. So it's taking these quite serious, complicated topics, making them simple and making them fun. And that's why I really enjoy his channel.
The trick today is to invest in things that seem funny and then hope that Elon Musk will tweet about them. This approach is what Matt Levine at Bloomberg calls the Elon Markets Hypothesis. Now, it's not being taught at business schools quite yet. It's the kind of cutting edge financial theory that's really only available on YouTube.
Just subscribe, Rob. And if you haven't subscribed to this channel, it's quite similar by the sounds of it. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. It's called Economics Explained. And Economics Explained is a great channel. It just makes economics really consumable. And it's something we tried to do on the podcast, but I really feel they've nailed it on YouTube. And it talks about general economics, but also more topical stuff that's going on as well. And I've absolutely upped my knowledge by watching that channel and others like it as well. There's definitely a few out there of the Patrick Boyle Economics Explained genre, and I'm sure YouTube will start feeding you more if you start watching those two channels. But Economics Explained is another one that you might want to check out.
So, how much damage has Brexit done to the United Kingdom's economy? Has the UK benefited from the fact that Brexit took place during the pandemic? And finally, what will this all mean for the UK's ability to recover from the pandemic? Once we have done all of that, we can put the United Kingdom on the Economics Explained national leaderboard.
Can't believe I've missed that one. I've just gone and subscribed to that one now. Okay, enough of the highbrow stuff. I always like to lower the tone on these episodes and throw in a bit of absolute trash. We've done a million-dollar listing in the past. This year is the turn of Below Deck, which I hadn't heard of until my friend Nick recommended it to me a few months ago. I believe the rest of the world had already been watching it for years. But it's a reality TV show about a crew doing charters on a yacht. There's a series that does around the Med, and there's another one that does the Caribbean, I think. And it is absolute pure trash, pure drama. There's been plenty of times this year when I've just needed to switch my brain off, and Below Deck is perfect for that.
Just with those potatoes,
yeah.
Can they be thin, crunchy, and round shape?
No, they can't. But I can make french fries.
Just make the round shape?
What do you mean round shape?
Cut them in the shape of like crisps.
So you want chips?
Yes.
Or you want french fries? Because initially you said you wanted french fries.
I didn't say anything.
Or should I just make both?
Nope.
Losing my patience with her.
I have also, I wouldn't say the pleasure, I have also watched that show. Yeah, you're definitely going to lose a few brain cells watching that one, but it is good fun. Another one, which is a bit of a weird recommendation, but hey-ho, I guess you've realised by now, we are weird, is I watch YouTube shows of people going on planes and their journeys, and whether it's, you know, first class, business class, economy, and how they get on with it, and what they like, the food, and so on. And there's loads of channels out there, and I've recommended some in the past. If you somehow find yourself being as weird as me and wanting to watch these videos too, then a YouTuber I've been watching more of this year is called Trek Trendy. And he's putting out a video every week at the moment, which helps satisfy my cravings of watching travel videos. So do check that out. Even if it does sound weird, maybe watch one, because that's the great thing about YouTube. I didn't go looking for this stuff, but somehow YouTube knew I would like this type of content. And after I watched one, it kept feeding me more, and I continue to watch them on my downtime to switch off. So yeah, that's my sort of brain dead content, Rob, when I want to switch off and just escape a little bit. And let's face it, we can't travel much at the moment, or it's very hard to travel. So that's definitely been my form of escapism via the Trek Trendy channel and others like it.
Today, I'm flying the world's most exclusive first class, Air France La Première, alone. With just 4 first-class seats per 777 aircraft, it's a private affair with 3-star Michelin dining, 5-star bedding, and a mind-blowing price tag of over $10,000.
I was deeply concerned that that was going to be a Star Trek channel when I first saw this on the list. I'm actually quite relieved that it is what it is. But we're certainly getting some variety from super highbrow to super lowbrow. Let's see if we can keep the variety going as we move on into tech apps and kind of geeky things we've enjoyed. So, Rob, what's first up for you?
So, this first one, I did not want to get involved with. I didn't want to follow the crowd. I thought it was all hype. I thought it was all buzz. And I questioned the quality of the product. And it's Peloton. Now, I cracked and I got myself a Peloton just towards the end of lockdown. And what an incredible brand and product. Absolutely worth the hype. It's been brilliant for me. Just being able to have a gym-like experience, convenience of just going into your spare room and being able to exercise is fantastic. The equipment's really good. But for me, where it really excels is the quality of the instructors. Just world class. You feel really motivated by the end of your classes. And yes, you have the cycling, but the app allows you to do other classes as well, like running and walking. And I've tried those and they're fantastic too. So if you are not a Peloton user, a consumer, and you've considered it, and maybe you've been a bit like me, like, oh, I don't want to be like everyone else. I understand it. I get it. But wow, what a great product. Absolutely amazing brand as well. The way they treat you as you sign up and wait for your bike. And there's a lot of lessons there from a business side as well that you can take away. Of course, I'm always looking at those angles. But as a product, marvelous. Highly recommend it. I know some people might be resistant to it, but I really enjoy it and I've got a lot out of it. And I've, of course, got a bit healthier off the back of it too. So wins all round.
Yeah, can't say fairer than that. Well, nothing so healthy from me, but my first tip is an app called Matter, which is currently only for the iPhone, but it's basically an article reading / discovery app. So you might have heard of Pocket and Instapaper, which are basically tools that you can use when you've come across something online that you want to read, but you don't want to read it right now. You save it to one of those. And it basically saves it for later so you can go and read it when you've got the time, and it strips out all the nonsense around it so you've just got the text without all the distracting ads and everything else. Matter is very similar. It's the same basic concept, but you can do a couple of different things. So if you subscribe to email newsletters, you can pull those into it. Also, if you use Twitter, you can connect to that and kind of pull in recommendations from people you follow. But also its recommendations, for me, are far, far, far better than anything that I ever got on Pocket, which is what I used to use. So I'm now discovering far more interesting articles that I never would have normally come across as a result of using Matter. The unfortunate side effect of this is that my queue of things to read is now just getting ridiculously long and I'm never going to get through it. But if you are looking for either a better way of reading or a better way to get reading recommendations, Matter is well worth checking out.
Oh, that sounds good, Rob. I'm going to go and download that one in a minute. One I downloaded a little while ago and actually mentioned last year is chess.com. So the background to my chess journey is that last year I got into chess because I found that my son was starting to beat me. I think that says a lot about my character and not in a good way. So I decided to up my chess game. I hadn't really learned the game of chess before last year. It's not the type of thing you did in Liverpool. Probably would have been a slightly more challenging childhood for me if I had been where I grew up. But I got into chess last year because of it, and I found a real love for it. So I'm going to recommend it again, because last year I did it to kind of make sure I could stay ahead of my son. But this year I've done it just for my own enjoyment, my own personal development. I love the fact that you are ranked in chess, so you can work on your ranking. And I set myself goals at the beginning of the year, and I'm pleased to say I surpassed them. And the thing with chess is you just will never learn it all. And I think that really suits my personality because I love to learn. So it's just a fantastic game. And I know everybody will be aware of chess, but if you've got a bit of a busy mind, I know I certainly have, I find it great to kind of put it to good use on over a chessboard rather than just focusing on stuff that isn't helpful. So chess.com is a wonderful platform. You can play games, you can take lessons, you can do puzzles, you can take part in tournaments. It's got the lot. You can do it for free if you want, or there's a paid membership. I think I do the lowest tier. But if you've ever considered getting into chess, download that app, give it a go, and I'm sure you'll get addicted like I have.
And you may know this already, Rob, but the founder of chess.com is a really interesting guy as well. And he was interviewed on Noah Kagan's podcast recently, which is a podcast we've also recommended on this show in previous years. So all linked back together. Okay, my next one is OneBlocker. Now, I very recently, like in the last few months, switched to using an iPhone from Android. And I'm sorry, Android people. I know all the arguments. I don't want to hear it. I was making those arguments myself for years, but the iPhone is so much better. Don't write in. It just is. And I'm not going to get into an argument about it. However, something that is annoying on any kind of browsing at all is adverts. And ad blocking is also controversial because it's how many websites make money. And if everyone used ad blockers, then it wouldn't really work. But so many ads are just really intrusive and annoying and make it virtually impossible to use websites. And there's also all manner of trackers that websites like to use to follow you around and harvest your data as well. And OneBlocker kills off all of that. There's a free version and there's a paid version, which is inexpensive as well. And it's just really unbelievably effective. So now using Safari on the iPhone, not just ads, but all the annoyances are gone and the whole experience is so much better. So if you use your phone a lot for browsing, it's a very small investment to make your experience better for hundreds of hours. That's a pretty good trade-off for me.
That is a brilliant trade-off, Rob. I'm sold, so much so I actually downloaded it as you were talking. So that sounds like a brilliant app. Thank you. I've got a bit of an anti-tech recommendation. And over the last few years, it's been an organic process, but I've reduced my or eliminated my use of social media in certain areas. So it started with Facebook a few years back. I stopped using Facebook because I just found it was a place I didn't want to spend my time. I didn't like the content that was being delivered there and what people were saying. It felt all a bit extreme and on the edge and just not a place I wanted to be. Twitter, I've also done the same with over the last couple of years. So that's been reduced down. And it's left me with Instagram and LinkedIn, which I use from time to time. And I actually find them both the most sort of positive social media platforms that are out there. But I think I was reading a book called No Filter earlier this year. Kind of opened my eyes to what I was kind of unconsciously doing anyway, which was the impact of social media on our lives. And I was, you know, reducing it by myself, but it kind of gave me a nudge to try and reduce it even more. And don't get me wrong, I still use social media. I still consume social media. I still probably use it way too much. But I think just being aware of the impact that it has on our lives, and sometimes positive, but also quite, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the time negative. I think being aware of that book was really good to open my eyes to it. And it's something I'm going to continue to do more of next year. So I know as a content creator, you probably would expect me to put more out there, but I'm probably going to put less out there next year. So I'm not exactly put loads out on social media in 2021, but in 2022, I can see myself doing even less and consuming less as well. I love YouTube and I love consuming content there. And I love podcasts and I love consuming content that way. And I obviously love reading as well. And you know what? I think that's enough for me. And you don't have to do everything. So just choose what's right for you.
Well, you know, you're kind of preaching to converted here. Social media is just not my thing. But as a kind of a counterpoint to that, I've started using Twitter more this year. And I bring it up because I think there's a couple of tips to share about how to use it better if you are going to use it at all. I don't contribute at all. I don't post anything. I just use it for discovering interesting ideas and interesting people, interesting links. Now, Rob, you talked about the more positive social media. Twitter is, of course, the most negative social media. It's a horrible, horrible place if you use it in the wrong way, full of people being very angry about absolutely everything. But there's also some good stuff on there. So I've got two tips for how to use Twitter better if you are going to use it. The first one is to use lists. So I barely actually follow anyone, but I use lists and I break up lists by interests. So, for example, I've got an economics list and just put people on that list. You put out good stuff about economics. The good thing about using a list is, firstly, it means that you can actually segregate it by topic, which means you can go and look at that particular list. So I'm not just going and looking on Twitter to browse and be aimless. I go to look at a particular list to learn about a particular thing. The other thing is that there's no kind of algorithm applied to that. So you just see the pure chronological feed with nothing else added in there. And the other thing to do, whether you're using lists or not, is to just be very aggressive in pruning your feed. If there's anyone who's even mildly irritating, I just get rid of them. Twitter is, I'd say, by default, if you're not careful, a pretty terrible experience. But it is possible to turn it into a really useful experience. You do just need to put the work in. I've started putting that work in, and I found it rewarding. But Rob, I think as a default position, if you're not going to do that, steering clear of the whole lot is certainly not a bad option.
I can see the value you're getting from Twitter there, Rob, but isn't it a shame that you have to work hard to use social media platforms to get that value? So I know there'll be other people listening to this who absolutely love social media, and that is absolutely fine. That's absolutely cool. It's just who we are as people, and you know, it's just not for us. We like the positive things. And of course, Rob, the tech app of the year, voted for by ourselves, is unbelievable. It's just an app that's going to completely change an industry. Yes, it's Portfolio. Let's not say any more on it, but I think it is just worth mentioning that we are just proud that we have created this tech and it's out there in the world. And if somehow you've got this far listening to the podcast and you've not downloaded Portfolio yet, I know not everyone can access it yet, but just being able to download it, get on the waiting list and join Portfolio in the not too distant future. You can download it, you can join the waiting list at portfolio.co.uk. You can take yourself one step closer if you've not been able to invest already to being able to invest through Portfolio. And we're really going to work hard next year to let as many people in as possible and at some point stop the waiting list. That might be quite some time off yet because of the demand levels and making sure we get the right people in at the right times. But at some point next year, I'd love to get to a point where we can open the door to as many people as possible. A lot of work to do before we get to that point, but we will work hard to get to that point.
But we've given plenty of recommendations today of things that we enjoy the most. But we also put out something that we're pretty proud of and we reckon you might enjoy it as well. So I don't feel bad about giving it a bit of a plug. It's the Property Hub magazine. The Property Hub magazine has had its best year yet. It's put out some absolutely brilliant stuff this year. Well done to Chantel and the team. It's just been phenomenal to see. And of course, it looks beautiful as well. And we've talked about a lot of online content today, but having a really gorgeous paper-based magazine to look at and get into real depth with is a great thing. And as well as subscribing to the Property Hub magazine, which you can do at propertyhub.net/magazine, you can also give it as a gift. Christmas is coming up. I'm sure it won't have escaped your attention. propertyhub.net/gift is the place to go. And for just £30, you can give a gift of a year's subscription to the Property Hub magazine, which will be 6 issues plus online access to all the back issues from more past years that I'd like to think about. So you just go to propertyhub.net/gift, you sign up, you get a voucher which the lucky beneficiary then has 3 months to redeem, and that gives them a whole year of the Property Hub magazine. So whether it's for you or whether it's for a friend or family member, do check it out.
So loads of gift ideas from this episode, whether it's for yourself or for others, enjoy them. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. We love doing this episode. It's a bit different from the normal property content, but surprisingly popular. Everybody seems to love these episodes, so I hope you've enjoyed this week. We'll be back, of course, next week with the Property Podcast. So until then, take care, have fun. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.